Good morning. Don't waste your life. I wonder how many times throughout history those words have been repeated. You know, typically from an adult to a young person, maybe they see them sitting around doing nothing. Get up. Don't waste your life. Make something of yourself. Go to school. Get good grades, you can go to a good college. Go to a good college, you can get a good job. Get a good job, you can get a good house. You can get a good car. You can have a comfortable retirement. I mean, that's what we're based around. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? This is the American dream. But is that all there is? What if that is wasting your life? Last week, Jesus taught his disciples to live. Am I on? Okay. Last week, Jesus taught his disciples to live an unleavened life, free from hypocrisy, free from the fear of man. He told them that living as a hypocrite might help you now, but it's going to kill you in the long run. He showed his disciples that they need to look past appearances to see the truth. Today it's going to be the same situation. Jesus is again going to teach us to look past appearances to see the truth. This morning we're continuing our series in the book of Luke. We'll be in Luke 12. If you haven't already turned there, please go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 13. We'll be seeing some more from the Lord Jesus, great and lowly. All right, Luke chapter 12, we'll start in verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Can I just say some of these shout-outs in Luke? This is the third one that we've had. Remember, you had the one who's Jesus is eating and teaching, and then one guy just feels led to say, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." And you're just kind of like, what? You know, or the woman who shouts out from the crowd, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that nursed you." Well, this time we have another shout out. "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." It's actually not as far-fetched as it sounds, by the way. Apparently, in this time, rabbis were asked sometimes as people in authority to help mediate in matters. Although this isn't so much a request for mediation, if you look at it. Do we ever ask for counsel in this way? This is what needs to happen, so make it happen, please. Rather than, would you help us to do the right thing here? Well, this man's confident he knows what needs doing. My brother needs to split the inheritance with me, so please make sure that happens. Well, verse 14, "But he said to him, 'Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?' And he said to them, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses.'" So Jesus is not about to assume this role. It's not what he's here for. By the way, this should be an encouragement for those of us who perhaps struggle to say no sometimes. Jesus was able to say no. This is not what he's here for. However, this does provide a good teaching point for the Lord. Take heed and beware of covetousness. It's interesting, he jumps from what this man said to covetousness. So how do we know this man is covetous? Well, if I'm covetous, I want more. More whatever. I need more. I have to have more. It's a focus. It's a driving force in my life. Getting more. And this man, in the presence of God the Son, hearing his words, all he can think about is getting some stuff that he thinks he should have. Yeah, he's covetous. Just like last week, The Lord said last week, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And we realize we need to sit up and listen when Jesus says, beware. Now he's got it even stronger. Take heed and beware of covetousness. And this time, by the way, you notice it's addressed to the multitude. Last week, Jesus was talking primarily to his disciples. This week, there's going to be a mix. At the first part, he'll be talking to the crowd. So he's talking, his disciples are listening, but he's also talking to unbelievers. He's talking to everyone here. Take heed. Watch out for covetousness. Why? Because life is not about possessions. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Life's not about possessions. That's not the purpose of my life. And if I'm covetous, I'm living for possessions. I'm living for what I can get, for what I have. And so the Lord is going to illustrate this truth that life is not about possessions, the abundance of things he possesses. He's going to tell the story of a man who did get everything. Now, this is the story, many know the parable of the rich fool. Yeah, that's going to sound familiar to some of us. But I want you to withhold judgment on this man as we read it. Listen to this story the Lord tells, starting in verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This is not an evil man by the world's standards. He's successful. He's planned his affairs wisely. The guy had a good harvest. This is the result of his own labors. This is not a man who's been sponging off everybody else or who even came into an inheritance from someone else. This is his own land. It yielded abundantly. Don't think he didn't have something to do with it. I love this illustration by Eugene Bernand, who did a number of illustrations of Jesus' parables. I think he captures this man very well. Look at those eyes. That shows, look at the foresight. He's looking to the future. This man is willing to put in extra work and expense. Look at him. He's going to tear down the barns that he has, perhaps that are even storing goods as it is, get that stuff out of them into safekeeping, build some new ones, put them in the new barns. That's some extra expenditure. That's some extra work to ensure that he has no loss from his bumper crop. He's a good businessman. And he's quite wealthy, by the way, you'll notice. I'm going to store my crops and my goods. He has a lot of stuff. And he's looking to his retirement. He's almost there. He's finally going to reap the rewards of his work. He's going to rest and he's going to enjoy his life. I mean, this guy's living the American dream ahead of his time. Who knew 2,000 years ago? Although a few things do look off about this man. You hear the way he talks? I will do this. I will do that. My this. My that. It's all his. Do you hear any desire to use his money to serve God? To maybe care for the poor? No, it's his. See, it's a telltale thing about a man that is really going to become apparent in just a little bit. And that is that this man's eyes are simply on this life and himself in this life. But that aside, this man's wise. He's a pretty wise man overall, right? But listen to the Lord, and I get the impression that God is saying this to him while he's planning, while he's making all these plans for his future. But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?" Fool! He's a fool! Yeah. Because in reality, none of those possessions were his. Can't keep them. He's going to leave them. I mean, we know that. Think about it. The expression, "you can't take it with you," is a very well-known expression for a reason. Because it's not yours. It's as if he's playing a video game. And he's really good at this online game, man. And with the other people he's playing this game with, he's been playing all of his life with, he's respected because he's good at the game. But it's not reality. And unfortunately, his hard disk is about to crash. He's about to lose his internet connection, and the power is about to go out permanently. He's not going to be playing that game anymore. He's not going to have access to it. You see, he's going to be just like the video gamer who might all of a sudden lose that world and have to enter the real world. This man, we would say he was living in the real world. He wasn't. He's going to leave what he thought was the real world and enter the real world. And with all his foresight, he hadn't prepared for that. He thought about his eternal soul, but only to the extent of saying, "Soul, enjoy yourself. You got time." That's as far as it went. And everything that he'd spent his life for, getting more in order to be able to enjoy his retirement, would be proven worthless. He had wasted his life. And that night, fool. Did he know death was coming? Yeah, he did. Did he know he was going to lose everything? Yeah, he did. He might not have known it was coming right then, but he knew it was coming. It's been said that ignorance is the absence of knowledge. And stupidity, or foolishness, is having that knowledge and choosing not to use it. Ignorance is the absence of knowledge. This man wasn't ignorant. Foolishness is having that knowledge. He had the knowledge that he was going to die. But he chose not to use that knowledge. And so he's a fool. And the Lord gives his epitaph. "So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." The man who lives like this is a fool, and soon to be a dead fool. Not rich toward God. I think about James, where it says, "Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him?" That's the kind of riches God's looking for. Did we see any evidence of faith in this man's life? No. Absolutely not. He was living for himself. He was earning his labors by the sweat of his brow. He only wanted what was coming to him. He only wanted his fair share. Amen. He only wanted what was coming to him. But he hadn't been rich in faith to God. He hadn't been trusting the Lord. His life showed that. And so he shows up before God bankrupt. Bankrupt. Imagine standing before God. And God looks at him and sees no faith, empty pockets. And the Lord looks at him and says, "You wasted your life." That's scary.
And you think about it. And while he's standing before God, the Lord said to him, whose will those things be? Well, maybe they'll be those two squabbling sons who are trying to figure out who gets the inheritance. What a joke. So take heed and beware of covetousness. This man got what most people only dream about and strive for but never achieve. But while he was alive, he acted as though his life did consist in the abundance of things he possessed. But then he died, and he discovered that he'd been mistaken because he lost everything, including his soul. He lived the dream and he wasted his life. Are you wasting your life? What will God say about you? Are you acting like a fool? So the Lord's been speaking to the crowd for a long time, and now he turns to his disciples. And there's going to be a slight shift of focus here. Not much, but a slight. Because he's looking at his followers, and the Lord has been saying to them, you need to leave all that you have to be my disciple. This is not... These are people who have been listening and who are following him with him saying that. So how should his followers live in a world where everyone focuses on the material rather than on the spiritual? I mean, we know that the Lord is right now on a journey to Jerusalem to glory, right? He's going to glory by way of Jerusalem. And he's told them persecution is coming. Do you think they might be tempted to start to live lives that are maybe a little more focused on having enough? Just having enough. Not having an abundance, but at least having enough. Start focusing on that. Get ready for the bad times. Well, the Lord is going to give them words of incredible, and I mean incredible, comfort, encouragement, and security. Now, before we start in the second half, I want to say this very clearly. The words that we're going to be saying here, that you're going to hear the Lord Jesus say, are to believers only. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, this is not for you. It can be yours if you trust the Lord. But these words are specifically addressed to those who are in a relationship, special relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, here we go. Verses 22 and 23. Then he said to his disciples, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. All right, let's take that apart. Therefore, in light of what we've just talked about, don't worry. Does that feel like a bit of a non sequitur to you? How does don't worry follow from what we've just talked about? Well, the Lord has just demonstrated the foolishness of living a life focused on possessions. Right? The obvious lesson from what he's saying is, don't do that. Don't be a fool. And Jesus feels that it goes without saying that God will provide for us as we obey him. That's why he can jump to don't worry immediately. Therefore, since you should not live a life focused on material things, since God knows that, God's telling you that, therefore you don't need to worry. And he's going to leave talking about, don't focus, he's going to leave saying, don't focus on getting an abundance. And he's going to start going the opposite direction. Don't even worry about not having enough. They're related, but they're not the same thing. So we're leaving, don't make your life all about getting more. And he's now going to say, you don't even need to worry about not having enough. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry. That's a big one for me. Worrying. I don't know about you, but that is for me. What's going to happen next? What if this happens? I love to live in the land of if. I mean, I don't love it, but I do it. What if this happens and then this? What if? And here the Lord says, don't worry. Don't worry. It's encouraging to be told not to worry. It's almost like I feel like it's an obligation that I have to worry sometimes. The Lord's like, no. See, it's a different way of focusing on possessions. It's still a wrong perspective. If I'm worrying about what I'm going to have, I'm still thinking about it. You see? I'm still making it something that's large in my life, material things. And here the Lord's saying is, don't even think about that. Put that aside. Stop concerning yourself with material possessions altogether. It's not worth it. It's not important. We have the second verse now on what our life is. In verse 15, we had one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Now we have life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. We need our lives redefined, I think, sometimes. What's important? Don't worry about the basic necessities, about that stuff. And he's going to explain why. And he's going to explain why we shouldn't worry. He's going to start off by giving two examples of God's care over his own creation. First one is in verse 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? So he said, life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing, right? So we're going to start off with food. The ravens, they don't go to nearly the trouble that humans do. And yet they survive. How? God cares for them. It's interesting. Think about that. Psalm 145:16 says, you open your hand, talking to the Lord, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Brothers and sisters, it's time we stop pretending that that constant balance of survival, those ecosystems are due to blind chance. I'm sorry, but that's stupid. It is time we stop pretending that. It's due to God's care. It is due to the Lord's provision. If nothing else, the Lord takes credit for it. God feeds them. Go look at the millions of ecosystems dependent on things from large elephants all the way down to bacteria, all operating amongst each other and around and everything working out together, and tell me that's all chance. No, I'm sorry. God feeds them. Because the Lord's making a point off of that. And if you think that's all chance, you're not going to believe this next verse. God feeds them. That's the Lord doing it. So what's Jesus' point? If God, the ravens can trust their Creator as they have for millennia, shouldn't we also? Shouldn't you and I trust God for our own provision? He's our Creator. But of how much more value are you than the birds? Remember last week the Lord said something similar. You are of more value than many sparrows. Again, of how much more value are you than the birds? You get what the Lord's saying? He's not saying, I don't like birds very much. That's not his point. His point here is that the birds are awesome and he loves them, but he loves you so much more. He values you so much more. Wow. I could spend an hour just sitting there thinking God values me. Wow. That's so wonderful. Continuing on, verse 25 and 26. And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to a stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? NASB says, which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his lifespan? Either translation works. I can't get any taller and I can't live any longer by worrying. Worrying doesn't do any good. It does a lot of harm. That much is certain.
So then what's the point? I mean, this is very practical. If you can't accomplish anything by worrying, think about the rich man. We're as powerless as the rich man who had all of his stuff and didn't know he was going to die the next day. And we don't have the kind of stuff that the rich man did in the previous parable. We're that powerless. We can't accomplish anything. So why spend so much worry? Makes sense. Verses 27 and 28. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is, and in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Flowers don't spend exorbitant amounts of energy to make sure that they're properly attired. They're just there. They're just existing. And yet God makes them beautiful. Again, the same point. By the way, again, don't go back to blind chance. Because if you do, you lose the power of this. This is God's design. If then God so clothes the grass, if our Creator expends that much artistry on a flower that wilts soon after it blooms, He's going to so much more make sure that we are cared for and protected. Don't you think your Creator is able to care for you in the same way as He does the rest of His creation? Oh, you of little faith. That last phrase hits home to me. Oh, you of little faith. You see, it's not due to the fact that, oh, wow, you're right, I didn't understand that. I think it's due to the fact that maybe I don't believe it like I should. You of little faith. Do I really believe God's good enough? We were just singing that this morning. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Do you believe that? Man. Then let's act on it. Let's not be the ones that the Lord looks down on and says, why are you worrying? Oh, you of little faith, do you really think I haven't got this? Do you really think I've forgotten it? Do you really think I have forgotten about you? Now, he's going to change slightly what he's saying here. He's been saying, do not worry, and now he's going to use a different do not. Verses 29 and 30. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind, for all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. Your Father knows. Interesting. Think about that one. We'll come back to that one in a minute. But he's been talking about do not worry. Now he says, do not seek. As believers, survival is not to occupy our thoughts or our actions. We're not even supposed to have an anxious mind about it. Look, and the Lord acknowledges, everybody else around you does. All right, so it's pretty ordinary to do that. Everybody else around you is worried about, am I going to have enough to eat? How am I going to be able to afford to live in the Bay Area, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, maybe the Lord's moving, leading you to move. I'm not saying that. But the Lord's going to provide for you whatever He calls you to do. And if He's calling you to stay, He'll provide. Whatever the Lord's calling you to do, He'll give you the grace to do. Everyone else lives like this, but not you, believer. Not you. Why not? Because your Father knows. Your Father. We've left the concept of God as Creator. Do you see that? That's not important, but we've moved it up a level. It's one thing for me to say God's my Creator, but it's something that I can say as a believer that no one else can say. If you are not a Christian, you cannot call God your Father.
If you do not know the Lord Jesus, God is your creator and God is your judge. Praise the Lord. If you know Him, He adopts you and you become His child. And then He's your father. If God is your father, what does that mean? I think to really understand, maybe it's good to illustrate from a human perspective. Let me illustrate for you what that means in my own life. That's me. The little one is me. A really little one is me. With my father. I asked my sister to go through the pictures and send me some of my dad with me when I was little. But I learned more than I thought I was going to by looking at those pictures. Look at his body language. Can you see what he's conveying by the way he's around me in every picture? You notice how he's touching me in every picture, firstly. He's right there. Look where he's looking. Where are his eyes? This guy is a computer scientist out at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. But what's he worrying about right there? Little kid. He's constantly watching out for me. His eyes are on me. And he knows what I need. You bet he knows what I need. I mean, look how well I'm dressed for every situation that I'm in there. Whether I'm out in the snow, getting ready for bed, or wading in the river. I didn't have to, in that first scene, go running around the cabin freaking out. Dad, you know what? I have no idea if I have snow clothes or not. I better go rent. Dad, I'll be right back. I'll run down to the store and pick up some snow clothes and then we can go out. No! That was the furthest thing from my mind. I knew they would be packed for me. I didn't even pack them. But I knew they'd be there. My father knew that I needed those things. Or look at me in the little center picture there in my onesie pajamas. I couldn't figure out whether those are Pooh Bear pajamas or not. I'll have to ask my mom later. But I'm comfy, you can see. I'm all ready for bed. I promise you I have a full tummy. And I promise you again that I didn't have to worry about eating a meal that night. I promise you that wasn't even on my mind. I wasn't worrying because my father knew that I needed those things. Now, I want you to place yourself in that picture for a minute. That's how God looks at you. Your father knows that you need all those things. Now, with that in mind, let's move forward to verse 31. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Since God has got you, since God is going to provide for you, since God is going to take care of all your necessities because you're one of, not only are you of His creation and you're valuable as a human being, you are one of His children. Worry about things that count. Seek after your Father's interests. All these things will be added to you. What's all these things? All the necessities of life. Whatever God knows you need will be added to you. I think it's worth saying that it's what God knows we need. Because as any 2-year-old would tell you, a father does not always give what you ask for. I mean, I know, you know, you could imagine a 2-year-old wondering, man, Dad told me last night he'd do anything for me, but today when I reached for that can of spray paint, he wouldn't give it to me. What's wrong with him? No. God's going to take care of us well. He'll give us what we need. Not necessarily everything we want, but everything we need will be added to us. I want you to think about this promise for a second. Seek the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. Words from the mouth of God himself. Do you believe that? That's revolutionary. That is, if I were heard teaching this in public, I could easily be laughed off the stage. This is ridiculous outside of the Lord. I am not saying, don't worry, be happy. This is not a, everything's going to be okay, just have faith. No. This is a, you have a heavenly Father who knows you need everything, and who, as you pursue what he tells you to, his interests, people, his church, the unsaved, as you care about what he cares about, he'll provide everything for you. He will provide. Not everything will work out, but he will provide. All this will be added to you by him, your heavenly Father. I love verse 32 here. Do not fear, little flock. Oh, hold on. I think I hit pause here. There we go. There we go. Verse 32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Little flock. I love the compassion in those words. Do not fear, little flock. Don't worry. You getting the idea? Do not worry. Do not seek. Do not be anxious. Do not fear. Are we getting the message yet from the Lord? Don't worry. Your Father's got it. Wow. Our Father values us infinitely, and he will care for us up to and including seeing us safely into his kingdom. And if that's the case, then I can just hear the Lord laughing as he says this. So sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags that do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. Give up what you can't gain, give up what you can't keep to gain what you can't lose. You don't need it on earth. And you're going to lose it if it stays on earth. So invest in what matters. If I could tell you a stock that I knew was for sure going to go through the roof in a little while, don't you think you'd want to invest in that? Well, I can tell you a stock that's going to go through the roof that you can invest your money in. Your money. Yes, just like you invest in a real stock. It's exactly the same thing. You don't get like a little, you know, an actual something you can see from it, except you have the promises in God's Word, but you bet you're going to get something in eternity. That's a stock that's going to matter forever. Listen to that. Money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys, nor stock market crashes. Wow. Imagine what our lives would look like if we really believed that. Boy, they'd be lives of power. Let's do it. Let's live that way. How would it look? What would we do? We'd be caring for others. We'd give to those who need it. We'd give to the church. Love Oakland. Let me put in a little plug. Jim DeWald's always putting in a plug for Love Oakland. Jim, I'll take over for you today. They're going out there caring for the homeless, caring for the needy. They're able to distribute money. If you can't do it yourself, you don't know how, give to them. They can help. Give to the church. The church is caring for all sorts of people who need help. Give yourself if you can give wisely. But don't invest in pleasures for yourself that are going to disappear. Put your money where it's going to last forever. Don't waste it. And then we have a simple truth here. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If my treasures are on earth, my priorities are going to be on earth. That's what I'm going to be caring about. That's what I'm going to be worrying about. I'm going to be checking the stock market. I'm going to be worrying about what I have at home. I'm going to be worrying about this. I'm going to be worrying about that. But if my treasures are in heaven, that's where I'm going to be focusing. And then I have God's promise that He'll add all these things to me. And I can live on the faithfulness of God. Wow. All right. So what's the lesson? Don't waste your life. Don't live like a fool. Don't let the American dream suck you in. Be rich toward God. And don't live like an orphan. I wonder, I know I tend to live like that. I forget that I have a Heavenly Father. I'm ashamed to say it. But I do that. I think that I have to take care of everything. I think that if I don't do it, no one's going to. Don't live like an orphan. Your Creator is your Heavenly Father who cares infinitely for you. You don't need to worry. You don't need to be anxious. You don't need to fear. He'll take care of you. Seek His kingdom. And all these things will be added to you. Let's pray. Father, what a promising God You are. A God who gives promises. Father, I thank You for the little in my life, Lord, where I have trusted You. And You have come through so much more. Lord, You say, try me now in this. Bring all the tithes into my house and try me now in this. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out in You such a blessing, there won't be room to receive it. And Lord, I have experienced that in my own life. You are a faithful God. You are good. And Father, I want to pray that You would help us to not be ones You would look at and say, oh, you of little faith. I pray, Lord, that You would give us the grace to say, I trust my Heavenly Father. You say the just shall live by faith, Lord. And I pray that You would give us the grace to live by faith, Lord, to see Your hand, though we can't see it, to see Your face, Your eyes caring for us as they do, though we can't see them, Lord, to trust them because they're so strong, Lord, until the day we see You, Lord. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your love. In Jesus' name, amen.